You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Samantha Oldfield.
And I'm Christy Landwehr, and you are listening to the special monthly National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, July 10th.
Good morning, Horse World.
Today on this NRHA episode, you are going to hear from our professional, Casey Deary. He's going to chat about his winning run and learn more about an equestrian coaching program that is brought to you by SeaCoach. Listen in.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
Before we jump into any of that, though, we have a brand new co-host. And for those that were wondering what happened to Sarah Honegger, let me just jump in and say she got her dream job. She is going to be the Vice President of Communications and Marketing for the United Way in Oklahoma City, and we're super proud of her. And now, though, I get to have a new co-host. Hi, Sam. How are you?
Hi, Christy. I'm doing quite well. Excited to be here and also wishing Sarah all the best in her new adventure.
So, Sam, let's jump in so that our listeners know a little bit about you. Tell us about kind of your upbringing, your schooling, your current work, your past work, your horse involvement. Just dive right in and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm originally from the East Coast, born and raised, always had a passion for horses, grew up more in the hot seat world, but have also been around friends who rode Western and some who competed in reining. And I also competed in reining in college. I have been with NRHA for over 11 and a half years now, which is scary to think about. I came out to Oklahoma City sight unseen in October of 2013 after graduating from Cazenovia College, which used to be up in Cazenovia, New York, which is right outside Syracuse. At college, I received a degree in business management with a minor in international studies, which I have fortunately been able to put to good use here at NRHA. I started as an entry-level employee with the nomination program, which had interested me initially in applying to NRHA because it is an international program and international business was the field I wanted to be in. From there, I have worn several hats, but am now currently the Senior Director of International Affairs and Development, where I work with our international members and events on accessibility, growth, and sustainability.
And I have been lucky enough to get to go on a couple of trips with you on behalf of NRHA and see you in action. We were able to go to Lyon, France together, and just recently Cremona, Italy. But your job, for somebody who loves to travel, is the absolute dream job. Tell us a little bit more about the last couple of trips that you just recently had.
Yes, absolutely. It's been a lot of fun over the years. Hard work, but a lot of fun. So just recently, we were in Mexico. We had an incredible experience participating in the Expo del Caballo Americano. It's an event that we partnered with several different equine associations to bring educational seminars on nutrition, genetics, health, and reproduction to members in two different states in Mexico, San Luis Potosi and Guadalajara. In addition to the seminars, we also had a day of demonstrations where we could show off the sport of reining to individuals who may not have had the opportunity to see it before. So it was a lot of fun. It was also very successful. We got to introduce folks to reining on a whole new level. So it was a great event. In Brazil, which we had just recently come back from, we have an affiliate there who hosts the ANCR Brazilian Futurity. The affiliate is called ANCR. They have a Brazilian Futurity there, and that's a type of aged event for horses, meaning the horse has to be a certain age to participate. And our affiliate there does an amazing job of showcasing reining in South America. It's just it's so much fun. They have a great atmosphere. The horses are incredible. It was a great competition to be at. It's participating at this event for us as NRHA is an opportunity for us to meet with several of our Latin American members and owners and to help facilitate support and growth for this region. For NRHA, Latin America is a primary focus for growth efforts. Coming up next, though, we have the NRHA European Affiliate Championship, and that is in Le Pont, France, and it's hosted by our affiliate, NRHA France. And at this event, we crown our NRHA European Affiliate Champions. So we're really looking forward to that event.
And tell us, Sam, a little bit more about the other NRHA-owned events that are over in Europe.
Absolutely. So NRHA owned event, meaning the association itself owns the event. We have two more that take place in Europe. One is the NRHA European Futurity, and it takes place in typically springtime. And that futurity is for four-year-old horses for them to get out for the first time typically and compete. The second event that we have is the NRHA European Derby, and that is typically held in more of the fall time of year. The Derby this year will be in Lyon, France, in the end of October, early November, and the European Futurity is slated to be in Cremona, Italy.
And while we're at it, how about some not NRHA-owned events that are, like one of them, for example, we title Oceana. Can you explain to people what that is all about?
Yes. So NRHA has several different regions that we have our affiliates and our members and our events categorized into. And that just helps us make sure we have targeted communication that's relevant to those folks that are in that region. One of those regions is Oceania. And for NRHA, Oceania's region consists of Australia, New Zealand, Thailand, Japan, China, basically everyone who's in the Asia and Pacific region. And for NRHA, we have the Oceania Affiliate Championships, which is similar to the European ones where we crown Oceania Affiliate Champions. And those folks, they are so much fun and they are so passionate about their horses. Oceania regions, it's a really cool opportunity to see reining grow and flourish.
Well, Sam, I am so excited to have you now as the co-host of our National Reining Horse Association Horses in the Morning podcast. I am looking so forward to the adventures we're going to share together.
Yes, I am too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Katie Hufnagel is a lifelong horsewoman and professional show jumper who now serves as a North American sales executive for Seacoach. Seacoach is a hands-free coaching tool trusted by trainers and riders across the country. She's passionate about introducing this technology to the reining world, where it can make everyday training smoother and more connected. Katie, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being on and sponsoring it today.
Thank you so much for having me and welcoming Seacoach. I appreciate it.
Well, I just have to start with, I think you have the coolest last name ever to be able to work in the horse industry. So it has hoof in it. And Jen, right before the show, our producer actually looked up noggle and saw that it means nail or spear. So maybe you should have been a farrier, but wow, what a great last name.
Thank you so much. Believe it or not, that is actually the first time someone's complimented my last name in the horse industry. But I've always laughed at the irony of it, too. It's definitely a fitting name to have around horses. So I'm glad you noticed.
I think it's great.
So, Katie, can you tell us a bit about your background in the horse world and how that led you to your current role with Seacoach?
Yes. So I have been riding and competing in the show jumping industry for most of my life. And along the way, I worked with a rider who had incredible talent, but also a significant hearing disability. At home, we managed pretty well, but at shows, especially in crowded warm-up arenas, it became very dangerous. She couldn't hear other horses coming up behind her or PA announcements, and giving instruction was really, really tough. She was actually the one who introduced me to the Seacoach device. It connected directly to her hearing aid, and it completely changed the game for us. For the first time, she could ride confidently in any environment while still receiving instruction. I was so impressed with the product that I actually started working with C-Coach as a consultant and then eventually transitioned into my current role. It's been an incredibly rewarding experience helping expand this device beyond English disciplines into reining, hunting, skiing, and even some industrial applications.
I love that so much. And what a good story for how this company can be so helpful. So for our listeners who have never seen or used it, what exactly is C-Coach and how does the technology work?
So C-Coach is a hands-free communication device that allows two or more people to stay connected. No Wi-Fi, no cell service or base station required. And essentially, each person within the group will need their own device. And from there, you just clip it onto your belt, connect a wired or Bluetooth headset, and talk like you're on the phone, but it's completely private, instant, and crystal clear communication. It's perfect for coaches, riders who want to stay in real-time contact during training, clinics, show warm-ups, and then just anything where timing and communication matter.
Wow, that seems so useful. I think we've all been at the horse show where coaches are yelling across, you know, the make ready or the school to their kids or to their folks they're training, and yeah, the message isn't getting through. So that's really cool. What are some common challenges trainers or riders face that C-Coach really helps to solve?
I think you actually just touched on it. I think we can all agree that one of the biggest challenges is yelling across arenas all day. I find it to be quite exhausting and then often ineffective. I feel like it's a standard because we are just used to it. And that's how, you know, no matter what discipline you're in, it's just how it works. We're used to yelling and that's the way it works. But when you're coaching multiple lessons, your voice and your rider's focus, I feel, can suffer. With C-Coach, you can speak at a normal volume and your riders hear you clearly, even across a large space. It helps lessons flow smoothly, eliminates miscommunication, awkward hand signals, or moments where your rider's unsure of what you said. I would say it totally removes the guesswork.
I love that so much. And does it do okay in the wind? You know, I live in Colorado in an outdoor arena, and boy, we can get some wind sometimes. How does it do in that situation?
Yeah, that's a great question. So depending on your headset preference, you know, whether you prefer a Bluetooth or wired headsets, weirdly enough, a lot of our customers prefer a wired headset, which typically has an inline mic, and wind can be a huge issue, you know, background noise, all that sort of stuff. A lot of times we will either sell our customers a windscreen that covers that inline mic, or we will do or recommend just putting vet wrap over your microphone, and that completely takes that background wind noise out.
That's a really good idea. See all the uses for vet wrap? It's like having duct tape. You have to have vet wrap, you have to have twine, and you have to have duct tape. I love it.
The three essentials, yep.
That's right. So I know C-Coach is widely used in disciplines like dressage and show jumping. You had mentioned that. So how do you see it benefiting reining?
I personally think that dressage and reining are pretty hand in hand. Reining is all about precision and timing, maneuvers like spins, sliding stops, lead changes. They all happen so fast. Being able to give feedback in the exact moment without yelling or breaking the rider's or horse's rhythm, I feel, is a huge asset. Whether it's helping a non-pro stay confident in the pen or fine-tuning details with maybe even a youth rider, C-Coach gives coaches that instant communication edge with everyone, you know, within their lesson or just a typical day in the warm-up ring before, you know, show. And honestly, it's one of those things you don't realize you need until you use it. And then it's like, wait, where has this been my whole life? Which is exactly the experience that I had.
That's really cool. And I think it could be widely utilized in the reining industry. And it sounds like you've been doing some outreach in the reining industry already, and hopefully you found some early adapters. What's the early feedback been like?
Yeah, the response has been super positive. A lot of folks are surprised something like this even exists. And once they try it, they're hooked. I've had coaches tell me their students are thrilled to be able to hear all their coach's instruction and not have to pull up and ask, can you repeat that? The devices themselves are simple to use, and you can speak back and forth completely hands-free, which fits the lifestyle and pace of Raining Barns, especially because you need to focus on the action and not fumble with buttons. So as we're expanding into the reining industry, I'm really loving all the positive and honest feedback we've been receiving along the way. I think us coming into this discipline with an optimistic mindset has really helped build a strong foundation of trusting customers, because we aren't desperate. We're truly excited to bring a useful product to the table that could benefit a lot of riders of all experience levels.
That's pretty cool. And do you find when you have folks that reach out that are interested about the tool, that want to purchase the tool, are you finding more folks are professionals looking to utilize it for their clients, or are you finding you're getting more communication from non-professionals or amateurs?
You know, that's a really good question. I typically find it's more of the riders, you know, non-professionals, amateurs, than it is the actual professionals or coaches reaching out. And I think just coming from, you know, a different discipline, but the same standard of being a professional and looking at myself as a coach, I think your riders are the ones that reach out because they're the ones having the issue most of the time. You know, whether they're an older rider who truly has like a hearing disability, or if it's, you're just looking at maybe like a younger rider that just can't hear. I mean, it's hard with the background noises and the wind and everything else to hear that instruction. And when you have so much going on and every second counts, you know, when you're on top of the horse and you're trying to get all these maneuvers in those split seconds, the communication factor matters. And a lot of time I can almost guarantee that you can ask any rider if they've struggled to hear their coach and you say yes. I think it takes a lot of that guesswork out, and that's why we typically see a lot of the riders reaching out saying, hey, you know, this looks like a useful device. You know, what does it do? How does it work? Where does it clip onto? What are its functions? Because when you first discover it, it's brilliant, but sometimes it's a little bit confusing to wrap your head around. So I think a lot of times we have those riders reaching out just curiosity, and maybe it's the right solution they've been looking for.
And Katie, explain to people a little bit, because it's CEE coach, all one word. Can you explain why it's CEE?
Yes. Yeah. So Piker is a European company. We're actually based in Germany, and Piker C is a branch of Piker, and that's where the CEE comes from, is just a branch that, you know, where our European side of our market branches off into Piker C, and they have their own C-Coach line, product line to their European market. We just basically took that last portion of the name and developed it into the C-Coach. And from there, our entire product line matches that. So we've got C-Calm, C-Coaches, C-Fit, which is a tracking device for horses' fitness levels and everything in between. So it's kind of just our brand recognition carried through who we are.
So that is awesome. So where can people go to learn more about, it sounds like, all the different products that are available, and then maybe even become a dealer if they're interested?
Yes, ma'am. They can head to our website, which is ccoach-us.com, and it's spelled CEECOACH-US.com. We've set up a special discount of 15% off for our reining customers. I just use code NRHA at checkout. On our website, we've got a dedicated equestrian section where riders and trainers can explore all the different C-Coach models and compatible headsets, or even just different C-Coach products that we have, or just reach out to me directly. I'm happy to answer questions, send demo units, walk you through how it all works. And if you're a tack store or trainer just interested in carrying the product, I'd love to chat about dealer opportunities too.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I learned so much about this product, and we're just so excited to see it grow in our reigning world.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me, and again, letting me welcome C-Coach and explain a little bit about the product. We're excited to potentially be a part of this great discipline.
Well, that was exciting to hear about that product. And I know back in the day when I used to jump, much like you did, Sam, this is the episode of past people that used to ride in jumpers, apparently. I needed that. I remember my poor instructor sometimes in an outdoor arena with 15 jumps having to literally get on her bullhorn and yell at me, literally. This would have been a much kinder, gentler approach.
Yes, I can honestly say I've definitely been on the arena sides watching coaches try to communicate to their riders in the jumping arena, even in the reining arena, yelling crazy loud. And I'm pretty sure the message did not get through to the rider. So I think this is a really cool tool.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. And now I'm so excited. We're going to have Casey Deary on to chat about the 4/6 NRHA Derby presented by Markel Wynn that he just recently had with us.
Casey Deary grew up in Texas riding horses, taking low-cost colts, training them, and reselling them, allowing him to grow his training business. Casey's parents did not own horses when he was a child, but as a young man, he found them and pursued life as a cowboy, purchasing his own truck, trailer, saddle, and horses one at a time. Casey has been one of the few elite riders to qualify and compete in the Run for a Million competition every year since its inception. Casey and his family have been featured as key roles in the CMT television series The Last Cowboy, produced by Taylor Sheridan. These accomplishments and many other world championship titles earned in the American Quarter Horse Association and the American Paint Horse Association have ranked Casey as one of the top trainers in the reining horse industry. He and his wife, Nicole, and their four children, Wyatt, Owen, Joy, and Olivia, live in Weatherford, Texas on the Deary Ranch. Well, welcome to the show, Casey. We are so glad that you're able to join us today. We appreciate you being on here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. So let's start in the beginning a little bit. Let's go back a little bit, start in the beginning. Tell us about Dusty, the first horse you rode in the NRHA and your journey to get where you are today.
Well, Dusty was the very first horse that I ever bought. I was kind of the one that always gathered change, picked up any nickels that I could find. I never spent any money. So I saved up enough money. I paid $1,000 for Dusty when I was 15, I believe. Dusty had ears like a mule. So she was actually an appendix thoroughbred by a quarter horse stallion out of a thoroughbred mare. And I attempted to make a reining horse out of her, you know, just reading the magazines and going to the clinics that I could go to, and ended up showing her in the 4-H stuff and a little bit of everything, but she wasn't really good at anything. So I rode her for a couple of years and then I sold her. And that's all I did through high school was buy and sell stuff that I'd find in the, you know, in the newspaper or through a friend of a friend or whatever. I just kind of bought and sold those low end horses.
I just love people hearing about everyone's journey, right? All of us started on a school horse, or all of us started on our grandpa's horse, or all of us started somewhere. Right. So just hearing the realism of all that, you know, now that you're one of our well-renowned million-dollar riders within the National Reining Horse Association is so awesome. And I think the last time we had you on the show, Casey, was November of 23 when you won the NRHA Futurity. And now here you are back on the show winning our NRHA Derby. So appreciate having you on today. And out of all the talented horses you have ridden, do you have one that really you've bonded with? And what was that like? Do you have multiple ones? How has that journey been for you?
You know, there's been several, quite a few really that makes it hard to name one in particular horse. I would have to say that the gun model was really the one that did the most for my career. So when I won the Reining Futurity on her, I think my lifetime earnings were about $200,000. And, you know, it had taken me, let's see, she won that in 2012. And I think my first NRHA event was it in 99 or 2000? Something like that. So it took 10, 12 years for me to win that $200,000. So I was, you know, a couple of dollars at a time gathering that up. Nightmare definitely gave my career a jump start.
That's awesome. And that's really cool to hear. I mean, every blue moon, one of those horses comes along and it's just elevates the whole experience and the whole journey. Yeah, go ahead.
She was certainly a special one. I tell people all the time, I think that she taught me as much as I taught her. That mare could do things naturally that we all spend a lifetime trying to teach them. And I remember times where I would draw a line in the sand and say, we're going to do it this way. And the wheels would come completely off. And then I'd go, okay, fine, we'll do it your way. And she would do it incredibly. So, I remember the first time I showed her, we owned part of her at this time. And after my run, I remember going, oh man, I hope I marked a 70 on her. It just didn't feel like it was supposed to feel, you know, like what I anticipated it going like. And I think she was a 222 or something like that. And I knew I had a 1-point lead change penalty. And I was expecting on my walk out of the arena for them to correct the score, you know, to a 202, not a 222. And then I watched the video and I thought, holy smokes, that's what that looks like. And so it gave me a lot of perspective of allowing my horses a big variance to get trained in. I feel like my program allows a horse to show a lot of its natural ability. And as long as we get to the final destination, I really don't care if we take the left lane, the middle lanes, or the right lane. And that mare really did concrete that thought process in me.
That's amazing. And sometimes I feel like, you know, it's those horses that teach us the most that help us grow the most into our careers and our abilities. And I just think that's such a cool thing for you to share with the listeners, because I'm sure a lot of them have had a similar experience, maybe not at this level, but you know, they've had that one horse that they really connected with. And sometimes it's once in a lifetime. So that's mm-hmm. really cool.
Yeah. It's been really great for us getting to ride her offspring. I've won an awful lot of money on America's Next Top Gun and America's Supermodel, and I've got a really special 3-year-old out of that mare, but we're also getting to ride the grandsons and daughters. And so it's interesting to see some of the similarities that show up in those offspring that I saw in the grandmother.
That's a lot of fun. Actually, even for us as staff, also on the sidelines watching, it's cool to see when horses produce high performing offspring, and then they produce high performing offspring. It's a lot of fun to watch mm-hmm. through the years. Now, new arena, highly anticipated for many years, at least from our perspective. We have to ask, how did it feel riding into the brand new OG&E Coliseum? Because this was the first event in that new Coliseum, first event. How did it feel riding into that Coliseum, which you have never ridden in or had a horse in before, obviously, because it just opened? And which horse did you choose to make that first ride in there, and why?
You know, it was a really special moment for me. I've spent a lifetime pursuing this career, and I felt like that situation, I didn't think there was a better individual to do it on than Downright Amazing. I feel like that horse has done so many firsts in our industry that he was just he was the one that deserved the honor, in my opinion, of being the first horse to walk through those gates. I think that what they've built there is going to be something that molds our future, you know, as far as the horses that show well there, what our breeders breed to. It's got a different feel than the old Coliseum does. And so I just felt like it was a really good opportunity for Amazing to get to say he was the first one through those gates.
Share a little bit, Casey, with our listeners about Amazing's journey with you and what all you guys have accomplished together so they all know.
So Downright Amazing is by the great Gunner, and she's out of your league. She's out of your league, won the Reigning Futurity and the Derby with me. She's the youngest $1 million dam in NRHA history. And then, of course, she's by Walla Walla Wiz out of Wimpy's Little Chick, who needs no introduction. So Downright Amazing's got a pedigree that is stacked in his favor from the day he hit the ground. He has certainly lived up to his name. As a three-year-old, I broke my neck the week before we left for the Reining Fraternity.
Oh, boy.
And that horse took care of me through two go-rounds and a finals, and he ended up third place at the Reining Fraternity with my head in a neck brace. So I felt like if I could have been any help at all to him, that he would have been able to claim that title, but he was literally packing me around. So from there, he went on to win the NRBC 2 years in a row, won the Derby, won the shootout in Vegas. He's won both of the American Performance Horseman deals. So he is, right now, his earnings are, I think, $950,000. And my goal is to get him over $1 million so he can be the first one to have that title also.
He is a pretty fantastic horse. You have had so many wonderful horses due to your training and everything that your family does there at the Deary Ranch. It's fantastic. So you are our 4/6 NRHA Derby presented by Markel Open Level 4 champion on Customize My Dream with a 233.5. How did that feel? Not only were you the first one in the pen to practice on the Tuesday, but then on the Saturday, you won the whole thing. So could you tell us a little bit more about this amazing horse?
You know, that family has been really good to me. And I can tell you that's both horse family and people family. The Warrens are special people, and they raise some really, really great horses there in Colorado. Devin actually did the majority of the work on we call him William. Customize My Dream is William. Devin did the majority of the work on that horse and handed him to me in August of his three-year-old year. I made a few adjustments, made some things fit me a little better. And then he ended up being second at the Reining Fraternity in a pretty close final situation there. I thought he was outstanding at the Reining Fraternity. And he's just showed up over and over and over again. He's made the finals everywhere we've been and been in the top end of the deal pretty consistent. So he is a legitimate show horse. He goes in and does his job, and he's easy to get ready, which is crucial with the situation that we had this year on the, you know, with the new facility and the setup and the warm up. And Oklahoma City did a really great job of making it accessible for us, but it was still a little more challenging than what we've dealt with in the past. So to have one like William that's really good to get ready made that a little easier for me. And then, of course, that night, because I had three of them in the finals, William's little brother, Tater, actually won the go-round. So I had three yellow horses to get ready, and they were fairly close together. So Devin actually got William ready for me. Devin got Customized My Dream ready for me right there before the finals, where I literally hopped off of Custom Dreams, ran over to Customize My Dream, and I think I had maybe five horses in between us and a drag. So I didn't have a ton of time. So it took a village to get him ready for sure.
Wow. I have to say, if you were not at the 4/6 NRHA Derby presented by Markel Finals, I highly recommend to all of our listeners to come to the NRHA Fraternity Finals. The intensity and energy is electrifying on that Saturday night. And Casey, you know, earlier in the section, Cole laid down a pretty high score. You were coming in at the end. I have to ask, for all the folks who show and maybe have a little nerves, get a few jitters as they go in, that is such an intense situation. The crowd's going wild. It's just so much happening all at once. How do you mentally get through and get prepared to handle that situation as you're running in for that final run?
You know, for me, I like the pressure. I thrive on that. I trust those horses, so I know that I've done everything I can do to get him ready. I know the horse is set. I know the environment is as good as it can be. The ground was great there. For the situation we dealt with, where they had literally less than a week of the time they expected to get it in. So I knew all of the variables were as controlled and prepared as I could possibly make them. So And I knew that William is a show horse and he thrives on that energy too. So, you know, for me, I don't go in there going, hey, I know I got to mark this score or that score. I go in and I say, okay, for me to go past Cole, I have to keep my foot on the gas everywhere. There's no place that I could back off and think that I was going to beat him. So William let me do that. I feel like that horse finished each maneuver stronger than he started it. And that allowed me to keep pushing and keep selling that run to the judges as we went. So I can't tell you that it's necessarily a lot of stress for me. And then on top of that, we're physically exhausted. You know, I didn't get a ton of sleep. I showed 6 head there, 3 in the 4-year-old deal and 3 in the Derby part. We had horses showing in the background. I had 6 non-pro Derby horses. So the sheer exhaustion kind of kept me from getting overly worked up. So it was definitely a marathon, but I can tell you that new building, that new facility that Kirk and his team did is second to none. And an environment for a spectator to come watch, the facilities are fantastic. So it's definitely something the guy needs to go check out.
Wow, that's amazing. And for the listeners, if you haven't seen Casey's run at the Derby, I highly recommend you look it up. It's a great example of what reining should and can look like. It was absolutely beautiful. Casey, how do folks find out more about you? Do you have a website, social media, if they want to learn more about you and your family and your reining?
Yeah, I know that we have Deary Performance Horses has a Facebook page, and I'm assuming there's a Instagram and not, is Pinterest a thing? We do that? TikTok's the other one. Sorry. I don't even have an email, so I can't tell you. Our website is DearyPerformance.com. You can go there and look at stuff also. But I do know my wife has a Facebook page and the business has a Facebook page, so there's always stuff on it.
Well, Casey and Nicole, thank you both so much for today and for being on. Your family is just so respected. It's always such a joy to see you at the events. And we just are so excited about your continued involvement in our reining world. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having us.
Wow. That was an incredible interview with Casey Deary. And, you know, just talking about that Saturday night, that final run, exhausted from showing the other horses earlier in the finals, also from being at the event for 2 weeks at that point, knowing that Cole Price had come in with a 2:30.5 and knowing that his run, you know, to beat that had to be just all the way. I want to talk a little bit about that pressure that's on, you know, Casey mentioned that he handles that so well. And I'm sure that takes a lot of mental training as well. I just want to talk a little bit more about that pressure that he was under and the position that he was in going in as the last run of the open finals.
It's a lot. And then he talked about all the non-pros, so the amateurs that he was coaching while he was there too, right? I mean, all of that he was doing for those entire 2 weeks. And the part that really kind of made me laugh, Sam, is what he said. I was just so tired that I couldn't really be stressed. I was just so tired. I just, you know, went and did it. And that takes a champion, right? Somebody that can just rise above the stress, rise above the exhaustion, and just bring it on his 3 yellow horses that night. I thought that was also great that they were all Palominos, that he mentioned that. And he just really, that last run. And for anyone listening, if you've never been to one of our finals, either our Derby in June or our Futurity in November and the last weekend, or sorry, the finals is always the first weekend in December, come. We will show you a good time. And oh my gosh, the crowd goes crazy. There's stamping of your feet. There is whistling. I mean, it is pretty fantastic, the energy. And yeah, Casey and William, known as, of course, registered name Customize My Dream, was fantastic duo to end off that evening.
Yeah, absolutely. The energy during Open Level 4 finals is electrifying. If you've not experienced it, I highly recommend. It's an experience second to none in the reining world. And, you know, Casey giving credit to his whole village, as he calls them, you know, everyone helping him get ready, get the horses ready for the finals. It really does take a village in a lot of these cases, but there's nothing like having to ride in to actually run the pattern. And as you can see, champion.
Well, you can find that video that Sam referred to in a variety of places with us. We have TikTok, we have Instagram, we have our Facebook page, and also a YouTube page that the run is on. And you can also listen to all of our past podcasts on nrha.com/podcast. Now go out and have the slide of your life.